Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to chapel today. It's good to see you. Thanks so much. Carolyn Kellard on piano and Madeline Wood, thank you for playing for us today. That was beautiful. On the back of your, oh wait, there's other thank yous. Sorry. Anders Nelson, we're so excited that you're here to give us a message that I know will be very thoughtful and inspiring. Thank you, Anders. And Katie Jenkins is leading us in liturgy. And I want to thank my students up in the AV booth, Brett Van Zee and Emma Gallrun are up there running our lights and sound today. So on the back, as I said, is everything that's happening in religious life this week. I want to be sure to let you know that this Wednesday we kick off the season of Lent with an Ash Wednesday service to be held here at Dahl Chapel at 8 o'clock. And I encourage you to come to that if you can. Also, our Better Together interfaith group has been active this semester and doing lots of great things. And they want to let you know that they are going to have a vigil this Friday evening at 7 o'clock out on Dunlap Terrace to stand in solidarity with the victims of the North Carolina shooting outside of that campus. So if you would like to come and stand with them in solidarity over that act of violence, please do so. That's Friday at 7 o'clock outside of Stockdale Center at the Dunlap Terrace. And next week in chapel, we look forward to Brandon Ouellette giving the message. So thanks, Brandon. That's our announcements, and now I just invite you to open your minds and your hearts to the presence of God in this place.
Would you all please stand and join me in the call to worship? Flame of the Spirit, warm our hearts to love our neighbor. Flame of the Spirit, light our path that we may walk in truth. Flame of the Spirit, rise in us with a passion for freedom. Flame of the Spirit, gather us together in the celebration of your life. Now please join me in singing hymn number 48. And this is a shorter hymn, so we'll be singing it three times through.
Please be seated. Now if you'll join me for a moment of prayer. Dear Almighty God, we just thank you for this day that we could be gathered together in this place to hear your word and think on the wonders of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, For who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Today's reading carries a lot of information that I believe is helpful in having us think about for the importance of the upcoming Lenten season. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the holiday that heralds the beginning of this important 40-day season in the Christian calendar. And this passage from one of Peter's epistles helps us frame an important piece of our faith to be understood throughout these 40 days. This aspect of our faith is deeply rooted in the waters that Peter references towards the end of the passage, and is one to consider through the upcoming wait for Christ's resurrection in the Lenten season. The sacrament I'm talking about is that of baptism. For those of you who may not know, water has been a very important aspect of my life for quite a long time. By this, I don't mean that I drink my daily recommended amount of water, because that's something I know we all struggle to do anyway. What I mean is that I've been a swimmer for almost as long as I can remember. I started swimming competitively during the summers throughout my junior high school years, and started swimming year-round once I got into high school. After 4 years of swimming at Galesburg, I was chosen as the MVP for the year, an honor that I'll never forget. Nowadays, I spend my time on the pool deck, both serving as a lifeguard and coaching swimmers at the Warren County YMCA. Go Waterbugs. Before I swam competitively, I distinctly remember swimming with my father and brother on hot summer days at the local pool, which I wish we could experience right now in this bleak winter season. But reminiscing aside, all of these water-based experiences had humble beginnings, which I think illustrate some of Peter's ideas very well. When I was about a third of the age I am now, I can recall starting swimming lessons at the local municipal pool. After already conquering 2 years of public school, I was confident that I could handle anything standing in my way. However, I was not prepared for one thing on that first day of swimming lessons: the diving board. Nowadays, that less than a meter drop from the board doesn't seem like it could be that frightening. But to someone who was as old as I was, and as tall as I was, the jump off that board could have been a jump off the Sears Tower into a cup of water for all I knew. My mother often recounts the fact that I walked out on that diving board that day with my hands clasped together like I was praying for God to get me off of that diving board. However, after a fair amount of coaxing, I made that plunge into the watery depths below the board. The next 10 seconds would be moments that I would never forget. The lifeguard who was floating underneath the board, who had promised to catch me, missed my armpits and allowed me to fall underwater, further underwater than I had ever gone before. While she scrambled to get me back above the water, I can clearly remember the short time I was left underwater to stare at the beams of light reflecting off the bubbles I produced after jumping in. Time seemed to slow as I examined my surroundings and chlorinated water fill my nostrils. I remember thinking to myself, is this what drowning is like? As soon as the lifeguard pulled me up, I was snapped back to reality and asked to get in line to go off the board again. Talk about traumatizing. In the middle of today's reading, Peter takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, when he references Noah's journey on the ark and waters that flooded the earth. In this story, the waters of the world swallow up the whole of humanity, outside of only eight people, a staggering occurrence, to say the least. In this case, the waters that Peter references are those that destroy and take life away from the earth. However, these waters have another side to consider. They saved Noah and his family. In this case, the water saved only eight people, but made room for God to start anew and consecrate both the earth and everything that lives on it. Does this sound similar to any aspect of the Christian faith? Using water to consecrate something for God's purpose? That's right. This story can get us thinking about baptism. First of all, I feel as though the waters of baptism can almost make us feel as though we're drowning. I don't mean this in necessarily a negative way, but I mean it in almost a childish sense, that I thought I was drowning when I first went underwater off that diving board. Through baptism, we are claimed by God and affirm the covenant made with Noah in Genesis, that God, quote, will remember the covenant that is between God and us and every living creature of the flesh, and all water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. this affirmation and the feelings that can be experienced through it can be overwhelming, in the same way that I was overwhelmed by my underwater adventures. In addition, as Peter points out, the waters of baptism make us clean. To reiterate his point, it doesn't necessarily mean physical cleanliness, but a clean spirit in the presence of God. By dwelling in the spirit of our consecration as a follower of Christ and a servant of God, our inner selves are renewed and redeemed, allowing us to let go of the past self, allowing us to wash away that which makes us spiritually unclean. Peter mentions that the sacrament of baptism acts as a pledge of service to God, and it is through that service that we are continually redeemed and washed clean. Finally, the waters of baptism are a means to salvation. Through Christ's triumph over death, he was made alive in the Spirit, as Peter points out at the beginning of this passage. It is in the sacrament of baptism that we are also made alive in the Spirit. The affirmation of our service to God is more than just a single special moment on our life's journey, whether that happens as an infant or as an adult. The sacrament of baptism is more than just a pseudo-baby shower or the steps someone takes as they join a church. It is the affirmation of one's salvation and dedication to the work of God. With all of this rich discussion of baptism and its importance to the understanding of one's relationship with God, why is this passage utilized with such close association to the season of Lent? To this end, it is important to notice that the story of Jesus' baptism and the resurrection bookend the Lenten season. In the baptism of Christ, the chosenness of Christ is affirmed. As the heavens ripped open, the divine purpose of Christ was affirmed in the waters of the Jordan. In a similar manner, in our baptism, we are chosen to be the hands and feet of God in the world, called to live a spiritually clean life and to remember God's covenant of life with the world. In Christ's resurrection, the baptism is mirrored by Christ being made alive in the Spirit. In this case, we are affirmed that Christ died and was resurrected for the sake of sinners. The power of the resurrection is very similar to the power of baptism. It brings us ever closer to God. While we eagerly await the celebration that comes with the end of the Lenten season, take time to examine your surroundings during these 40 days we have to prepare. While it may seem as though this season is drowning us with the stories that lead up to Christ's death, we must also keep in mind the wonderful, refreshing gasps for air that we experience on Easter Sunday. As we take those first steps into the Lenten season in a few days, I hope that the sacrament of baptism acts as a reminder of one's deep and true connection with the renewal that comes with the resurrection of Christ. Amen.
Will you please join me in the prayers of the people? Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us, deliver us, and renew us so that we may draw nearer to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Rejoicing in your good grace, we pause now and lift up to you our prayers of thanksgiving. Especially, we thank you for remembering us and loving us even when we forget. The guidance of your Spirit through this day. Signs of new life and hope. Knowledge of you through word and worship. The relationships to which you call us. Merciful God, as we venture out into this day and into this world, we lift our needs and the needs of others up to you in prayer. Confident of your care for us, we pray especially for those who weep with grief, those who are sick and the caregivers of those who are sick, those who feel lonely and forgotten, and especially those who have forgotten you. Those who are in need of love, acceptance, and grace. Creator God, accept these prayers of your people. Strengthen and renew us for the week that lies ahead, and look with compassion on all who turn to you for help and hope. For you are gracious and merciful and full of love for all people. Now, as a community bound together by this college, hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray by saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us stand and sing our final hymn, number 295, Go to the World.
Thank you.
Now may we leave this chapel thankful for the opportunity that we've had to worship together as a community, and I pray that the service carries you throughout the week. And now may the grace, hope, peace, and love of God our Creator, God our Redeemer, and God our Sustainer be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace, everyone.